You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
It is Thursday, November 24th, 2016, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. My name is Greg Sussman, joined only by Tony Cincotta. Happy Thanksgiving, Tony.
It's a big day, right? Got a little food. We got a little football. So it's just like every other Sunday.
Oh, it's every other Sunday, but it's Thursday.
I know, but Thursdays, you know, it's great to have a day off, but...
We don't have that.
Oh, that's true. So we don't... This is why it's like every other day.
That's true. It's a good point. Yeah, you get a nice day off, three football games, a lot of Thanksgiving food. You get the parade going on just literally one block away here. It was very tough for me to get to work this morning, Tony.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's crazy. I actually was reading Facebook, and I have a brother that's actually at the parade today.
Right.
Now,
I might have saw him just now.
Now, I'm not big on standing out there for I don't know, how long are they going to be out there for? Like, people, if they're out there now, like, they're going to be out there all morning, all afternoon, just to see Santa Claus and a couple balloons.
Now, what time does this parade start?
That's a great question.
All right, Mike Florio. Mike Florio, you are here. You've been forced to hang out with us this morning. How are you, sir?
I'm good. I, too, was affected by the parade this morning.
Really? And you just took the subway right here?
Yes.
Ooh. You actually took the subway right here. How are you affected by the parade?
Well, I got in a little early, so I was hungry. I was like, you know what? I'll get some breakfast. The only thing open was McDonald's.
Sure.
And unfortunately, the line was literally out the building.
Oh, so you weren't really affected getting your breakfast plans were affected.
Yeah.
I see. I'm sorry. So when does the parade start? What time?
I'm looking that up.
Okay. You look that up. People, the way, with the amount of line, Tony, that you saw at the barricades, you were thinking it was starting any minute. But, like, they weren't even close.
No, I think it's not going to be until at least 9 a.m., I would guess, right? I mean, people tune into this thing on TV, and they watch this thing, and they used to have Dick Clark, and I think now it's a Ryan Seacrest production.
What is this, New Year's? That's New Year's. I don't think that's Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I think it is.
Really? No. Yeah. They got Matt Lauer here, Meredith Vieira. I don't think that's a Ryan Seacrest thing. You can, Florio, we only got two of us the next 3 hours. Feel free to speak freely.
Yeah, not according to the website, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m.
9 to 12. You got people sitting out here at 6:30 when I was walking. They probably got there like 5:30.
I got off the train at 5:30, and it was
packed.
Buses of people, and the streets were packed, and I saw the people who were going to be in the parade, too. They were getting off buses.
Right, sure.
It was pretty crazy. Way more crowded than a normal day.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because last night I went for dinner, and... You know, there's this family there. They knew the owners of the restaurant, it seemed, or at least were friendly. So they were talking about, like, the parade, seeing the parade. I'm like, yeah, no, I work right there. I'll be there tomorrow. I'm like, no, we're going tonight. I go, what do you mean you're going tonight? Instead of watching the parade, Tony, they were going to go watch the balloons get blown up.
You know what? I know somebody else that actually did that. It makes no sense to me, but people love that. Like, that's become a big thing to do. I think these are closet parade freaks.
Hey, it's very interesting to me.
I've done it.
You've done that?
Yes.
Oh, here you go, Tony.
There he is, parade freak.
Why did you do that?
My family wanted to check it out because one year we went to the parade and it was just crazy. So much people. We had to get there really early. It was freezing.
Right.
So we went the night before. Because you really get to see, you do see all the balloons and everything. All you miss is, like, the dancing, and that's something that I wasn't really interested in. So, it was cool. I mean, I wouldn't do it again. It wasn't anything crazy. But
you're just watching balloons get blown up.
I guess, though, that's kind of why you go to the parade. You see all the balloons and everything. So, you see them in person, and then you don't have to wake up at 4:30 in the morning the
next
day.
You know what? Tony, what is the difference between watching this and watching it on television?
I don't know. I think on television you can get up and go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
You can get something to eat.
Right.
So I think there's a lot of advantageous to I don't know what the hell you would be there for live.
I mean, not to be like a total like curmudgeon here, but I've also wondered the same thing about New Year's. You know, people go into Times Square for New Year's, and I'm thinking, I want to go freeze my ass off to watch a mini ball drop. You can't move. You can't go to the bathroom. You can't eat. You can't. I don't get it.
I could get the New Year's Eve thing.
Why?
Right? You can get drunk, right?
Can you? Are you allowed to drink on these streets? No.
Well, I don't see a lot of sober people. I can't imagine there's sober people out there.
I think they are.
Florio, have you done that?
Florio, have you done the New Year's thing in Times Square? You don't have time to do work this morning. You have to hang out with us. Florio, have you done the Times Square New Year's thing?
No, that I would never do. Those people get there like 6 in the morning and they stay there till like midnight. Like
right.
You said, where do you eat? Where do you go to the bathroom?
Yeah.
It's freezing cold.
Right.
I would never do all that. I think only non-New Yorkers do that.
You think it's a tourist trap here.
Yeah, I think most people who live in New York want to avoid that area actually on New Year's.
I agree with you. It doesn't make like I have had several New Year's in New York City now, and I want to stay as far away from Times Square as possible.
I come to the city quite often, like to go out and stuff. On New Year's Eve, I never consider coming to the city.
It's never a thing for you. What do you have New Year's plans yet?
No.
Tony, do you have New Year's plans yet? Do old people?
No, I don't.
Older people do that yet? No.
Do old people?
Older.
No, we're flexible. We can do whatever it takes. You know what I mean? And plus, it's not a big night, right? It's usually a lot of crazy people going out that don't go out and don't have social lives.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's pretty. New Year's is pretty fun. I don't know. I'm a New Year's guy, but
you might have fit into that. People like us call it amateur night.
Why do people call it amateur night?
You've never heard that?
No.
It's all the people that don't have anything to do with their lives, and the New Year's Eve, I gotta be out. People gotta see me. Because you care about what other people think about you.
Ooh.
As opposed to things. So it's amateur night. You can actually look it up in Google. I'm pretty sure it's out there.
Is it in the Urban Dictionary or just the Google?
Just the Google.
Okay. Yeah, no, you know what? It, to me, New Year's, one night a year, you get semi-dressed up, you go, you pay too much money for drinks, and you have a nice time. And why can I do that? Why couldn't I do that any other night? You're right.
Yeah.
But
yeah, any other night. I mean, why have it that one night? Like, we have to go out there and show up. I don't get it.
Yeah, I can't really help you, to be honest with you.
I used to go in my youth. We used to go in Boston. We would go to Aerosmith every New Year's Eve in Boston.
See, that sounds pretty fun. I have a friend that sees Fish every year New Year's.
Really?
Yes.
So to me, that would interest me. Some sort of event like that where you could go and do it each year. That would be a great thing. Now, some people don't in New York. There's plenty of things to do. I could see people going out there, but there's plenty of things to do in New York every night.
There are. That's completely true. And in fact, what I'm doing on New Year's, I could literally do it for any night, probably for half the price.
That's true.
So,
that is absolutely true. Now, it's interesting. They had a big tournament yesterday to win over DraftKings a night out in New York.
Really?
On a rooftop bar, which wasn't ours, but it was a rooftop bar in New York, and they valued it at $5,500. So you can imagine how expensive things are in New York on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, so Benny was actually telling me about this tournament. He was actually talking about it for a while, how if he won this tournament, he was going to just pocket the cash, like come in from his house, not even stay at the hotel, pocket the cash, you know, spend it at the rooftop, and have a nice night. That was it. And he's just gonna make extra money from it.
See, that doesn't surprise me, Benny. He's a very foresightful. He's thinking outside the box.
Yeah.
He had already had a plan for something that he hadn't won.
Yeah, pretty well. He has lots of plans for things he hasn't won. I've heard about the cars he's gonna buy. Yeah, I mean, to be fair, like we can all dream, can't we?
No, dreaming's actually better. Like a lot of times, I don't check my lottery tickets. I just spend the money,
right?
And act like I won.
Do you?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
How has that worked out for you?
I got a lot of nice things.
Oh, I'm sure you do. How's the wallet looking?
Well, you know, I always have money to take the kids to McDonald's.
That's pretty good. And you also, you said yesterday on the show, you bought concert tickets and WrestleMania tickets for your kids.
Oh, yeah. They're ready. Last
now,
night, actually, it was my youngest son's birthday. Oh, you might be interested in what he got for birthday.
Did you get him an iPhone?
No, he got the WWE loot crate, or whatever it's called.
What is that?
So it's some box that shows up with a bunch of various WWE items on the odd months. So every he had the November box. There'll be another box in January. And he got a bunch of things in this box, which are WWE things. It costs like $23, right,
right,
for each month.
Right.
And it comes with $60 of value inside of it.
How about
but
that?
You don't know what it is.
How about
you
that?
You don't know what it is, and it's various crazy items.
Interesting. That's very interesting.
Including a Dean Ambrose belt buckle.
Ooh. So, you know, I was thinking about this on my walk, my longer walk today, Tony. You told us, you know, you got one of your kids' WrestleMania tickets. You know, one of your kids' concert tickets for Christmas. But then I remembered you have three kids. Did you leave your other kid out and not get him any tickets?
No, he doesn't like to go to these social events. He's hoping for a computer for gaming. That's what he's looking for. Well, so I'm out shopping around for those.
You are now. Will you, are you somebody? I know you have to work tomorrow, but are you somebody that goes Black Friday shopping?
I've gone Black Friday, right? And I've only got one thing in my entire life. I went to get something that they had two of, and I didn't want to send one of the two of, and I ended up with the TV one time. I'm not a Black Friday guy. How about yourself?
I'm not. I am not a Black Friday person either. I kind of just do my own thing and forget it, but it's even Black Friday, to be honest.
I like the Monday thing, though. With the
Cyber Monday?
Yeah, I take part in that.
Well, you know what it is? And maybe it's just because I'm a little younger. I don't like need any. Like, what do I need to buy right now? Like, I'm not like in the market for anything. I'm not like looking for a new TV at the moment. Like, I'm not like, I guess maybe I could always use some new clothes. But you think I want to go to like shopping for clothes on Black Friday? Like, I'm wondering, am I going to kill myself?
I think you're missing the point of Christmas here. Aren't you supposed to buy for other people?
Oh, true.
Yeah. You're going down the right path, though. Here's what I got to teach you.
Okay.
Now, do you have any brothers or sisters?
I have one sister.
So one common thing you should try to do is try to cut down, like, on buying their kids' presents, your kids' presents, their significant other's presents. So let's just say, hey, how about you don't get us presents, we don't get you. Try to get that early, because then you don't have to buy as many presents, and it becomes the holidays become a pain in the ass instead of something enjoyable.
Yeah, my sister and I have already, we don't get each other
See, that's
holiday
that's
presents.
The way to go.
Yeah.
I agree.
We get each other 110%. Birthday presents, and that's it.
That's how it is. Mike Florio, of course, he's got a girlfriend. Mike, that's something you need to learn down the line. Don't get the relatives involved in any Christmas giving or anything like that.
Well, it's actually unfortunate. Like, I have, I go to my girlfriend's for a Hanukkah celebration every year, and they get me all these presents tonight. So I now reciprocate. So I have to get all of them presents as well. So I am I'm screwed over there.
Yeah.
Mike, you've had a girlfriend for I know. My girlfriend, Mike, you've had a girlfriend for several years. You have to get the entire family presents.
What I do is, I get like
Amazon gift cards for them.
No, I get like one thing that like something pretty big that they could use at the house.
Like a box of popcorn?
No, like they're all big into cooking, so like last year I got them like cooking like glove, like there was a special oven mitt they
got. So you had an oven mitt, the Indianapolis Colts oven mitt that he got for free, Tony. That's what they took.
No, I got them stuff like to use like that, and then I get them each like something smaller that like.
So you go all out here.
It's not as much as it sounds like. Like, I get them, like, one kind of thing for the house, and then more for the parents than, like, her sisters.
Right.
But, and then I get them all, like the parents each, like, a little thing as well.
Yeah.
You just brought me back to a horrible. So, basically, I had a girl that I went out in high school. I ended up going, like, 10 years, like, through high school in my early 20s and everything. And her parents every year would get me that tin can of popcorn, you know. Every single year, the same damn thing. It was a horrible gift. Like, I deserved better than that. And you know what? Nothing pissed me off than when I got her dad some lottery tickets and he won $250. Like, don't buy lottery tickets for anyone, because you get pissed when they win. Like, man, I could have scratched that ticket off there. And my daughter's actually going to be she's going to be lucky this Christmas, because I buy a lot of jewelry.
Really?
Based on relationships that I've had in the past, yeah. And I don't really have a significant girlfriend at this time, so my daughter actually gets the jewelry that I would have given to there. So she gets to step up her jewelry collection this Christmas.
That's a big spot for your daughter.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
When we come back, we are going to talk some NFL, actually. We have three games today. We're going to preview all three games at some point in the next 3 hours. We're going to talk about a lot in the next 3 hours, about life, love, happiness.
Eggnog,
and everything else that we could possibly think of. It's 3 hours. Roto Experts in the Morning. Sussman and Sincotta, Mike Florio, too. We return after this. are back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Corey Parson and Scott Engel, they're not here. It's just myself, Greg Sussman, and Tony Zicata. Florio, you like that one?
I like how it was just reflex for you to, like, kind of... That's what I thought you were doing.
No, I was actually saying that they weren't here. Oh, okay. I obviously know they're not sitting next to me.
I thought it was just a reflex. You're so used to saying it.
No, they're not here. They're not here. We had a lot of NFL football to come. Three games today. We had some news and notes as well. Tony, I do want to start, because it's just you and I, so we can do anywhere. We can do anything we want now, as long as we don't get fired.
We can live
it up. We can do anything we want. Say anything we want, right?
I've been on the station for a long time,
right?
And I don't know what would constitute someone being fired.
You know, it's a great point when our boss is eating a weed cookie during a show yesterday.
You know, I just thought about that. I should have called him last night.
And, make sure he was okay?
Made it home okay.
I probably should have done the same, to be honest with you.
So we hope he's okay. But if he's not, you know, there is some openings.
There are some. Yeah, a lot of spots are open. Tony, man, you may be forced to come back up here.
That's it. Go there, and I'll buy a jacket on Cyber Monday.
There you go. I bet you buy nice airplane tickets on Cyber Monday too.
You know, it's funny the things that are on sale. Like everybody's got something on sale. Like it's so funny these concert like. I belong to a lot of these sites, like the Orlando venues, Tampa venues and stuff, where they give you, like, the password so you get the tickets early, and they give you this, and then now you're getting cyber 15% off concerts that nobody wants to go to.
Sure.
It's the craziest thing in the world, and it's great that everybody gets involved in the Cyber Monday. Like, what's the Roto Experts? Like, the King's been hiding this thing
for a
while.
It's a great point, and he's not here for us to ask.
No. He didn't answer my when he was taking today off, and I sent an email back, and I asked him if today was a Jewish holiday, and he didn't respond to me.
It's not. I'm here.
No, I know. That's what I was figuring. Because Scott, you know, Scott doesn't take. It's funny the holidays he takes off because sometimes he comes in on those other religious holidays.
Sure, you're right.
On Thanksgiving.
You're right. You know what? I give him credit for saying, you know what? I'm going to spend Thanksgiving with my family. He doesn't do that enough. So it's a nice job by Scotty.
He works very hard.
He does. He does. He works very, very hard. So last night, I was a little NBA now here, telling Anthony Davis, who I felt like was due for one of these games, another one of these games, where it's like, I left last night's game. I'm not going to play tonight. I believe it was second night of a back-to-back.
I agree. Same here.
I'm done. This New York New Year's Eve tournament, like, the winner probably had Anthony Davis, right?
Yep. And I'll tell you right now. This Davis thing is crazy. The Pelicans thing. Since Holiday's come back,
they're
4-0.
It's crazy.
And they've really put this offense together a lot. We saw Tim Frazier two nights ago go together. This was on a back-to-back game that Davis played after playing 90 minutes there.
Shocked.
I crossed him off. When I put together my thing, I didn't even think he'd be playing, and he had a big game. And that's the problem with this guy. He is so talented that he can make or break you every night in daily fantasy.
It's crazy because he's just one of these guys that we'll just call him the Sharks, they never want to put in their lineup. They never trust him. They think he's going to leave every game, and rightfully so, with some sort of injury. But when he doesn't, he does what he did last night, which is 45-10 with a block, a couple assists, a couple steals. And this is against Karl Anthony Towns. This isn't against some scrub here.
Yeah, so here's the thing, though. I am a guy that believes that people bitch and complain way too much
about
people with multiple injuries,
right?
In these tournaments.
Yeah.
But last night, this is a perfect example of when you have multiple entries, something like this you can hit on.
Yeah.
And the guy with two or three lineups has no chance. And that's why I believe that you got to do whatever you can to know what your strengths are. And if you're playing two or three lineups, you've got to find these single entry tournaments, even if it takes in the morning. When you first wake up, you go, you hit NBA on your site, you type in the word single and bring up all the single entry tournaments and put in dummy lineups in the morning, because a lot of times they fill up.
Yeah.
Both sites, DraftKings and FanDuel, have done a better job at putting more of these tournaments out there. You're not going to win tens of thousands of dollars, but you don't have to. If you're looking for that and you're playing in multi-entry tournaments and you're not winning, well, that's your own fault because you're a greedy bastard. And the problem is you're not going to have tens of thousands of dollars in tournaments if guys don't put those 100 entries in. So it's a give or take. So get in the right tournaments to what you're playing, and that will prevent you from getting stuck in this Anthony Davis situation, because this is going to happen. The guy with 100 entries is going to have three teams in there with Anthony Davis.
Yeah, you're 100% right. There's just no way that you had any chance in a tournament with one entry, in a multi-entry tournament, because you didn't have Anthony Davis. And along with Jrue Holiday's return, you're also seeing Alvin Gentry like get smarter, which I didn't think was possible, right? Like, he's not doing dumb things like not playing Terrence Jones. Like, Terrence Jones played 24 minutes last night. He was sick. He still played 24 minutes and 17-7. Terrence Jones is very good. He should be playing. Like, Dante Cunningham may be the starter, but Terrence Jones is the player here. And I felt like Alvin Gentry, despite, well, this team opened like 0-8 and now they're 6-10. Like, they have gone on a run here. They were like you just said, they won four in a row since Jrue Holiday has returned. And this is a team that really never should have been as bad as they were at the beginning. Now it's picking it up a little bit.
Yeah, so you're seeing hits in the play-in rotation. You mentioned Dante Cunningham. Buddy Hield, of course, the rookie,
Buddy
too,
Hield, yeah.
Also.
Yeah,
he was playing 20-something minutes. He's down to 10, 13 minutes a game. Mm-hmm. And he's where he should be. I like this team, and it's interesting when you look at it. They need one more player, and it could be that Terrence Jones be there, because they need one more big man. Omar Asik is a guy that's just a rebounder. He's nothing else.
Yeah,
he gets to play 26 minutes a game. Now that we see Terrence Jones in that rotation, that's another option to take the pressure off Anthony Davis, and he doesn't have to do it each and every time. Anthony Davis last night, they were plus 33 with him on the court.
Jesus.
And Frazier plus 30. That's consistent. If you watch this team and you watch when they're successful, when Davis and Frazier are on the court together, it's amazing. But keeping Davis healthy is the whole thing here, and it hurts you fantasy-wise at points.
You know, it's interesting. I think this team like desperately needs like a wing. They don't have that wing player on their team. There's a lot of bigs and
well, the problem is they use Davis out there instead of under the basket.
Right, right. And you hate that.
It drives me crazy when you have such a guy this big and he can dominate, and they don't have another low post presence. Now, it could be different if Terrence Jones develops, and then it may make a little more sense.
Yeah, I think I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you. From the Minnesota side of things, they have been arguably one of the more disappointing teams in basketball this year.
I know why, and I don't know what to do about it.
Is this an anti-Tom Thibodeau rant coming?
I think he doesn't match up with this team. I think they're going to have to change this team. I mean, he's a successful coach, so there. But we're looking at a bunch of offensive players. Thibodeau, mainly a defensive coach.
Yes.
And I don't see a lot of good defensive players on this team. Wiggins is a guy that's a shoot first. He was 2-for-19 last night, which was terrible. Karl Anthony Towns, as good as he is and the talented he is,
right,
not a great defensive player. Gorgui Dieng is a guy that can overachieve defensively and play well. Ricky Rubio has no defense. Like, it was I get why they hired Thibodeau, was to take a team that was bad defensively. Last year, they were second worst. The year before, they were worst in the NBA, and try to improve them. But sometimes you have to have talent to match the system.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. And this team, you just look at their five starters. I mean, they're all, at least four of the five, and they are major offensive players. And you just look at them, none of them scream out defense. From Rubio to Levine, Wiggins. Towns is an okay defender, and Dang's a pretty good defender. Like you said, you described it well, an overachieving defender. He's pretty good. But that's it. They do not have, like, the guard play. These guard play defense has to be two of the worst in the NBA, right? Them and, like, Phoenix comes to mind. Like, Eric Bledsoe and Devin Booker don't play defense.
Yeah, so I get what they tried to do here and bringing the coach in, but
agree.
I think they're going to have to change the roster a little bit. And they have enough talent here that they'll end up moving someone. The name that's always mentioned is Ricky Rubio with the selection of Chris Dunn there in the first round. I'm interested to see what he brings in return, because he's a guy to me that's a lot like Jose Calderon. He's a guy you could play 20, 30
games. Because they're both Spanish, is that what you're saying then?
No, 20, 30 games, you won't miss a point. I think they do well, but then you realize over 80 games why they're a backup.
Yeah, it's actually a really good point, because I look at Ricky Rubio's stats, let's just say from a DFS perspective, and someone was telling me, maybe it was a optimizer or something like that, was to play Ricky Rubio. I'm like, I don't want Ricky Rubio. Like, there's just no interest in Ricky Rubio.
Yeah, the problem with playing Rubio in DFS is all his points. I think he's a great season-long player because there's not enough assists to go out there, and he's a guy you could mark down for 10 assists on most nights. But when you get 0 points from a guy last night, he didn't score. He took two shots in the game.
Yeah.
You can't use that guy in DFS. There's no upside.
Absolutely not. Like, there's no chance that Ricky Rubio is just going to go off for 20, you know?
No, it's never going to happen. Now, he, like I said, season long, he gets you steals, he gets you assists. I can get it. You balance him into that lineup, and you can make it work with Rubio from a season long perspective, but never in DFS.
Did you know, getting away from this game for a moment, we got a lot of NBA games to talk about. There were 13 yes last night. Did you know that Trevor Booker last night shot a ball blindfolded?
I did not. No. Why would he do that during a game?
So Trevor Booker had a great night last night. He was 18-12. He had 4 steals, 3 assists. I mean, he's been tremendous for the Nets this year. Somebody hit his headband on his eyes, and he still was around the basket. So he just felt like he knew where he was and tried to put up a shot. Blindfolded.
All right. How did it go?
It did not go in.
Did it hit the rim?
It hit the backboard. I don't know if it hit the rim or not. I couldn't
all
tell.
Right. Well, there you go. So Trevor Booker took one blindfold. I'll tell you, I played him on a team last night that I thought was going to cash.
Yeah.
It was looking good. And the Golden State Warriors game happened and it knocked me out of the money. But Booker came through last night.
You know,
night. The Celtics don't defend the front court.
No,
well
they do not.
All.
That's why, but it's interesting. They don't at all. And that's why I liked Brook Lopez a lot last night and he put up a dud.
I liked him too. He is so soft. He is not your typical front court guy, and I should have known it. The price was inviting too because he was dropped down. But if you don't get any rebounds, it's hard to play a big man at center. You should know that, and I know that, but I played him anyways in some contests.
Yeah, I thought about it. I actually went with Marc Gasol instead, and I got lucky because I went to double overtime there. But I still didn't cash. I went to bed last night, and I felt like I was pretty comfortable in the money, and then the Golden State game happened.
Yeah, I was the same way. I was like, oh, I woke up this morning. I had no email. I said, oh, maybe it went to spam. So I go and check, and that wasn't it. It didn't go to spam. That's how optimistic I was.
Now, you really believed you won.
I was like, man, it must have went to spam. You know, it happens every once in a while.
Florio, did you cash last night? I know you were setting lineups at 7 a.m. like me. Did you cash last night?
No.
I put up a solid score. I put up 291 last night. I'm not upset with it.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, 291. I didn't cash.
That's not right. On a 50-50?
That was two 50-50s.
Jeez. Oh, you went crazy last night.
No. So I was telling Benny that so FanDuel changed it. So your $10, the $10 game is now $11. And I got to know it because I like even numbers. So I now play two $5 now instead.
Oh, all right. I like that. You know, I actually like the $11 to get back 20 as opposed to 10.
I would have done that. I don't do that. I play the multipliers. So I put in 10. I put in $5 against 200. Now, with 100 person, it would be 113 people rather than 100 people.
Yeah.
That was the only difference. Yeah. I like that better.
You like that better?
Yeah. I like even numbers, you know?
You know what? The more and more I'm looking at it, and this is something you could consider.
Yes.
That when you play in the double ups now,
yeah,
and they don't have single entries like you're playing against 10,000 people or whatever.
Yeah, I would never do that,
Yeah, there's guys with 150 entries. What I've done is I've instead gone to $50 or $100 of head-to-heads.
Right.
And I only let people play me once. There's something in there they can, instead of playing the 50-50s, I just go head-to-head against people. And then there's a lot of people on the radio that like to listen.
Sure.
And they get to play me in a game like that. So it works out great to me. And I think it's a bit more advantageous than playing in those 50-50s.
Wow. That's very interesting. So I actually, I just looked this morning because now we're talking about it. I missed cashing by 6 points. And Trey Lyles got 14, and he was only 2% owned. So that was it. You piece of crap, Trey Lyles. In a great spot against Denver.
That's a Benny guy. Benny's a Trey. He's a Lyles guy.
He is. A Lyles
he nailed
guy.
It one night for us. Though.
I know. He did.
Guaranteed success, and he banged out a 33 for us, and we all went home and we all went happy. Last night, though, I did not believe it's so hard to take anyone in a game involving Utah. Now, I can understand taking a Utah player when they're playing a team like Denver because the game is paced up. This
right,
hour's
right, late. Yes.
So I can do that, but it's impossible to go the other way against Utah. I've basically written them off from a fantasy perspective. And another team that's getting like that is the Clippers.
Oh yeah,
because it's two the Clippers are actually a lot worse because they're playing a slow pace, but they're killing teams, and these guys are coming out of games early. But somehow, Blake Griffin and Chris Paul are still putting up fantasy numbers. The only guy that's taken a real big hit is DeAndre Jordan.
J.J. Redick's even been hot recently, I noticed.
He's been shooting. The only problem with J.J. Redick, and the same thing you can say about He doesn't do anything. They got to score 24 points yeah. on the field, right. and they're the third and fourth option in that offense.
Right.
That's a tough call. Like, he'll get on a run. He can shoot the ball for a two-week period, and then all of a sudden that price is going to rise a little, and then you're going to get stuck with eight-point games.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Also, your boy Isaiah Thomas wasn't good enough last night. 31 points.
I know. Hey,
come on.
Isaiah didn't pass the ball last night. Avery Bradley might be one of the most underrated players
yeah.
in fantasy.
I like Avery Bradley. Last night, Avery Bradley winds up with 22 and 7 with 5 steals. That got the job done. Isaiah Thomas, 23 and 5. I know he aggravated that finger injury. I needed more from Isaiah Thomas. 17 and 8 for Al Horford. 15 and 5 from Jay Crowder, who I've always been a fan of going back to the Marquette days. Sean Kilpatrick at 32 minutes off the bench, put up 23 for the Nets.
He can play, and he's one of the guys that still goes to the hoop. Yeah, you're here now. Thank
yeah.
God.
Yeah.
What's Jeff up? Van Gundy last night was upset.
Okay.
Doing the game. He had a question that I always asked. From a mathematical standpoint, when you have a 3-on-1 or 2-on-1
yes.
fast break, 3-on-2, 2-on-1
yes.
fast break,
right.
why does every team pull up and shoot a 3-pointer nowadays? When mathematically, you're probably looking at like a 38% success rate at best.
Right.
And he had a layup's probably like 95%.
Sure.
Does it make any sense from a mathematical equation?
No. No. I don't understand that, to be honest with you.
Why does it keep happening? And Jeff Van Gundy was asking the same question, and I've been wondering the same thing. Like, that has become the norm, though.
When in a way,
a
yeah.
break to kick it, kick yep. back to the guy shooting the three-pointer.
Yes. I don't know the answer to that. Maybe because it's worth more points.
So that's it? Everyone wants the big bucket?
I think that's it. It is.
Did you happen to see the Nick Young play 2 nights ago where he stole the ball from Lou Williams and buried the three?
I did see that.
That was one of the greatest plays of all time, but it's never going to go down as a big team event there. And I wish he had missed some point of me to see how that would have went over, because I don't think he could be well-liked. Do you think he's well-liked? His team seemed to like him after the game.
They did. Yeah, they do seem to like him after the game. I think winning kind of cures things, you know?
Greg Popovich last night during the Spurs game had an interview where he did his best Bill Belichick interview of all time.
Really?
He told the reporter he was absolutely reaching because he wouldn't answer. They asked him about the team chemistry, and he said, "Can you define chemistry? I'm not smart enough to know that." That was his answer. And then he asked him another question. He gave him a one-word answer, and then the reporter was like, didn't know what to do. So he says, "What kind of wine would we be having with Thanksgiving?" He goes, "Well, you must be really reaching now. You guys got a really tough job." And that was the end of the interview.
Oh, Greg. Greg. Hi. Oh, boy. Yeah, whatever. All right, let's take a break.
Guy?
What's up?
Not a Popovich guy?
I am a Popovich guy. But, like, some of the, like, I feel like he's just, usually, I feel like he's just messing, right? I don't feel like he's, like, actually this, like, angry. He gets a big kick out of it.
I think when the camera gets off, he laughs. The guy goes, "Sorry about that." You know what?
I agree. I agree. Unless it's like an intense game where he literally doesn't want to be bothered. But like, he's got a sense of humor. He's like Belichick, right? Like Belichick's like kind of a dick during his press yeah. conferences. They show the camera off, and people like love Belichick.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what happened. Like, I could see that there, and the poor guy had to be sweating bullets trying to conduct the interview.
Yeah, agreed. All right, take a break. We continue on. Oh, my Spotify's still playing. We continue on here on the Road West in the morning. Right after this. We're back here on the Roto Experts of the Morning. Greg Sussman, Tony Cincotta, Mike Florio. Here this morning, on a Thanksgiving morning. Tony, what is your plan for today? What's going on? What's going on in the Cincotta household? How's this going to work?
10 o'clock this morning, I'm yep. going to get the turkey ready, right, to throw in the oven.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I'll be ready around 3:30. Then my daughter's going to make some things today, so she's going to get there. I think I'm going to try to go for a bike ride between 10 and noon.
Okay.
So I can get a little activity in before I go and eat like crazy today. And so about 3 o'clock, we'll have the turkey. But at 12, we'll have some stuff to munch on and watch the Lions and the Vikings
right.
in today's action. So to me, today's going to be a lot like a Sunday. The only difference is I only have to prepare for a one-hour show as opposed to a three-hour show at 7 o'clock.
Oh, you got a one-hour show at 6 you're doing?
7.
You're doing a one-hour show at 7 tonight? What is that? Is that Fantasy Gold?
Fantasy Gold tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern. I might be by myself, but I think Benny's going to be here with me today.
Benny's been begging to get more airtime here, particularly on Thanksgiving, so he doesn't have to be home.
Benny will, in fact, be here at 7 o'clock.
Is he leaving here? Yeah. I mean, I know he's coming in this morning at 11. Is he leaving here ever? Or is he going to sit here?
I don't know if he was joking or serious, but he said yesterday he was just going to go up to Rock and Riley's, get some wings,
and drink,
and then come back down and do the show.
I don't know if he's kidding or not. I kind of think he's not.
Because he said his wife and kids are going somewhere.
They're going upstate, I think. Yeah.
And he's not. Right. So, and he said he doesn't want to go anywhere else for Thanksgiving. So
right.
I think he's serious.
Well, you know, I can appreciate that. You know, I live in Florida, so I don't have any relatives around. It's just me and my family that are out here. Everybody else is in Boston. And I'll tell you the truth. That used to be one of the things that would drive you crazy. You have to go to this relative's house, to think about sitting in Rock and Rollins with chicken wings and a couple beers watching the NFL.
Sounds pretty
nice. That's a lot to give thanks to right there.
It does sound pretty nice, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Benny might have us all beat.
You think so?
Yeah, that's true. I chastised you guys because on the news show today, he was coming in to talk a little fantasy football.
Right.
And he says that Greg said he'd be hungover so I could come and hang out with him. And I was like, oh, man, I wish that was the way it was. We just had someone that we could lean on every time that we weren't feeling well. And Benny was there to save the day.
Benny's always going to be here to save the day. He's going to come in. He's talking about Benny on the news. Benny's going to come in from my news desk at 11 o'clock today, he said.
No, that's what I'm saying. He was telling us about that. Yeah. He was telling us that he was going to come in and do that. And I started laughing. I said, you got to come in and do the news. Oh, we're going to talk a little football. I said, oh, yeah, well, that makes sense.
Yeah. You know what? I just thought simply that today, I thought almost like a live pregame news desk would make sense. It would be about an hour or so from kickoff. So yeah, I thought it would be a good spot for him.
That is the news that anybody cares about, right?
I'd like to think so.
I would hope so. In today's action, Mike Florio and I, we actually did a little laid-back news desk this morning and went over some things that we don't usually. Like today, one of the things from that Dallas game, there's something that I haven't seen before. The Dallas-Washington game's total has gone up 4 points since it's opened.
Really?
Usually you can see it go down because the weather or an injury would make it go down, but I've never seen a total bet up 4 points before. It started out at 48, it's up to 52 right now.
That's crazy.
I think the same thing.
Let me ask you this from last night here, Tone. Going back to the NBA for a moment. Kevin Love had 34 points in the first quarter.
Yes.
He finished with 40. How is that possible?
We spent 12 minutes on this, too, on the news.
I apologize. I didn't get a chance to listen to the news desk this morning.
This is the craziest thing.
But I don't get it.
I do get it, and it's a problem on this team, even though they've won a championship, so it's hard to look at this. If I'm Kevin Love, man, I feel like the rotten stepchild on this team every single game. I put up 8 for 9 and even got called to task by the commentators last night on ESPN.
Yeah.
During the halftime. Kyrie Irving, your job as a point guard, when you have a guy on fire, is to get him the ball. Get him the ball and just continue to feed him the ball. In last night's game, he had the 34 points at the end of the first quarter.
Right.
In the second quarter, he didn't take a shot.
How is that possible?
He only took 6 more shots the rest of the game.
Why?
I have no idea. Him, LeBron James, and Kyrie Irving took all the shots the rest of the game. LeBron ends up with a triple-double. I get that. Kyrie Irving ends up with 15 shots and only 4 assists in that contest. Kyrie Irving, to me, is not the greatest point guard for this team.
Right.
He's great when somebody's injured because he can step up and fill that role.
Yeah.
But if you had someone just like even like the Ricky Rubio type that distributed the ball and get these two players the ball, and they had a guy like Wiggins instead there on the wing, maybe this team would be better off from a schematic standpoint. I just look at it, and this was a huge, huge difference. But this is what happened. Like if we told people to play Kevin Love last night, right, on the lineup log show.
Yeah.
And the problem is, if you didn't watch the game, you woke up happy. If you watched the game.
Furious.
You're going to be pissed off.
Furious.
Right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely insane.
It's just remarkable to me because this guy had 34 points in the first quarter and scored 6 more points. 6 more points total in the game. 0 shots in the second quarter. Now, I'm sure he rested at the beginning of the second quarter, as these guys tend to do, which is fine. But how do you not just go back to him over and over and over again? It doesn't make any sense.
Zero sense, and it's definitely frustrating. And that's always the problem when you take Kevin Love in fantasy. There are certain games where they just don't get him involved in the offense. So even when it's a great matchup on paper, which last night it was, there are times when you're like, man, they just don't get him the ball enough. And
yeah.
Last night he nailed it. He had 8 3-pointers right there in the first quarter, and you were excited. But damn, 40 points. And actually, it's funny, as Mike Florio was watching the game with someone, and they basically said, watch, Love's only going to finish with 40 points, and he
said
nailed
that.
It. Yeah.
I didn't say that. My friend said that. We were watching, and we were like, oh, my God, like he set the first quarter point record. He's going to have a monster day. My one friend was like, nah, he's going to finish with 40 points.
And he did.
And it was a great call because he pretty much said LeBron and Kyrie are going to try and take over now, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, 100% true. Cavs do want to win this game, 137-125, a lot of points in general in this contest, as you like to say, Tone. And Damian Lillard, I got a little hurt by him here in New York when he played against the Knicks. Back-to-back goes into Cleveland against Kyrie Irving, 40-11-7.
This was the fifth road game in a row, too, besides the back-to-back. So Lillard's been struggling. I actually broke down. In his last four games, he only had 30-something fantasy points, which at his price tag, which was over $9,000 last night, was not enough to put in a tournament, especially where there was a ton of points last night. But he came through on the last game of the road trip.
Really did.
And Kyrie Irving's not good defensively. And Damian Lillard's not good defensively.
No.
So both these point guards were in play last night. And Lillard's a guy that if everybody's going to be off, that's probably the night to get on. And it was probably a play that, you know what, when you look at a lot of the winning rosters from last night, not only did they have Anthony Davis, there was probably a lot of Damian Lillard's last night as well.
Probably. You're probably right. Hey, let's take a break now. When we come back, there was something else I want to mention with you. Oh, trusting the process. I want to get Tony's opinion on this when we come back. You talk about, Tony, how soft the NBA has gotten as a league in general, right? You have mentioned today's style, it doesn't compare to yesteryear. So I needed to ask you, how do you feel about trusting the process with Joel Embiid playing 24 minutes a game and no more?
I understand with this guy because this is a guy that everything's mortgaged on this Philadelphia team for the next 10 years. Like, they need this guy to work out big time. And he's had the foot injuries coming in. So I get it. Bill Walton's a guy that had his career ruined by foot injuries and is a guy that basically put together a great career, but in very limited, very short time because of injuries. They need this guy to work, and I think this is the way to go for the whole coming season because they're not going to go to playoffs. They're not going to make a run. So why not just make sure this guy's play? He's the real deal. Like, this guy's an amazing player.
Yeah.
You want to talk about a fantasy perspective. He's a point. He gets you a fantasy point every minute he's out on the court. I think that you write off the season and you play it this way. And it's a lot better than last year when they were trying to lose games on purpose, even though they didn't have to try. They didn't have to go out of their way because they weren't very good.
Sure.
I like what they're doing here in Philadelphia.
Oh, so it's crazy because we talked about this yesterday that, like, they trusted the process and the process worked. Like, the process has worked. But I just feel like 24 minutes or 27 minutes of Embiid to come back later on. 27
double
minutes,
overtime game.
Double overtime game, 27 minutes when he's by far your best player. It's frustrating. Like, I understand you're trying to keep the guy healthy. And a lot of these big men in the past, you know, Patrick Ewing on forward, they all have a problem with their feet. And I get that. You're trying to keep this guy healthy. But at some point, you got to unleash him, no?
I think it's next year. I really think that you look at your roster, right, and you say, hey, I have no chance to get a playoff spot here. If I put this guy out there and I lose him for any time during next year with a surgery or a setback, I really have screwed this thing up. I need this guy back. I probably try to trade Okafor in a deal and bring in a different position. I don't think it's the worst thing to have two good big men on a team.
Right.
But when you're short on other positions, like the point guard situation, I don't think it's the long-term plan here. They're going to need to upgrade there.
Clearly.
And when you have guys like just in Minnesota, a situation there, maybe this team matches up well and make a move for that type of situation there. Or you get someone in the draft if they have an early draft pick again this year and go there. So I think that next year is the year to go after it.
Okay. So trusting the process. Success will be a year, a long time thing. I totally agree with you about Okafor finding a true point guard for his team. Jared Bayless, though, he's returned, played 30 minutes off the bench. He's going to start sooner or later. 18-6-6 for Bayless. I kind of like him going forward.
I like him a lot. Now, the only problem with Bayless is that he's a guy that likes to shoot a lot, too.
Yeah.
So he's not very good at it.
No.
Like, he's one of those guys that's going to put up stat sheets. He'll get your assists, he'll get your rebounds. But your field goal percentage is going to take a little bit of a hit if you're playing season-long leagues. But if you're playing in daily, it doesn't matter.
Right.
And he's a guy that will absolutely be in play. The guy that I played last night at the two guard was Nick Stauskas. He's a guy.
Stauskas, wow.
Yeah. He's a guy that had a crazy career at the University of Florida because he came from overseas, played 1 year there. And he's always been talented.
Who are we talking about? Stauskas, he went to Michigan.
Yeah, Michigan, Florida, all the same thing to me.
Stauskas didn't play 1 year. He played a lot of years at Michigan.
Well, he's a Canadian resident.
He is a Canadian. Oh, he's Canadian, sure. He played, I thought, 4 years at Michigan, though.
I'm gonna look at his college career. Maybe I didn't pay attention.
I feel like Stauskas is one of those players at Michigan that we hated as a Maryland fan.
Why would you hate a guy?
That
seems strong.
He's too good. You don't like guys that are too good.
Couldn't you dislike him?
Well, I think hate is more passionate for the radio audience.
Oh, okay. So you don't really hate.
No, I don't really hate Nick Stauskas. But he played 43 minutes last night, so that's awesome.
Well, they had an injury with Henderson being out. That's not going to happen every night.
Sure, no, man. Double overtime, obviously.
Yeah, you get double overtime. You get a guy that they have a couple guys out, so you come into play. And that's the whole thing at DFS. And I'll tell you what, the big controversy over these late substitutions, I was thinking about it today.
Yeah.
This morning, it hasn't been really anything that's affected people greatly thus far during the season. And I thought DraftKings did a great job by allowing position eligibility at multiple positions to offset that. So you have more choices when you put together your lineups.
Yeah, it's interesting. Obviously, FanDuel has not done that. DraftKings trying to give you choices. I know it affected like J.J. Barea earlier this year, the late swap. That was the first time it affected me. No late swap. So it's been okay. You're right, Tone. For Memphis last night, 27 points for Marc Gasol, but only 4 rebounds and 4 assists, 3 steals, 3 blocks in a 2-overtime game. And this is the problem with Memphis. The pace is just never going to be high.
No, I thought Conley and Gasol were both good plays there. Hey,
Conley was great,
really
25-9-9.
He's played really well this year. I mean, last year he had a season full of injuries. I like Mike Conley a lot because the price is still down. But if he continues to have games like that, once he gets up to the $8,000 range, they don't play high enough contests that you can put him in the lineup.
Yeah, and that's just absolutely the issue when it comes to the Grizzlies, night in, night out. You cannot rely on them because they play so slow and so defensive, and that's just the way they play.
Kind of like, sad to see.
Kind of like, you know, we just talked about them a few moments ago when it came to Trey Lyles. And they're kind of like the Utah Jazz, who they also don't play fast. They put up 108 last night in a 108-83 victory over Denver Nuggets, go back to 500. And I felt like this was all due to the return of George Hill, who just makes this team a hell of a lot better. 22-5 in 29 minutes in his first game in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, George Hill came back. Now, he's not a guy I ever loved from a talent standpoint and putting up big points, but you're right. On Utah, when you drop down to Dante Exum or Shelvin Mack, it's a huge drop-off in that team. So Hill comes in. He's usually cheap-priced. If you play in a game like Denver or you play a team like Phoenix, his salary is so low that he's absolutely playable in those circumstances.
Yeah, it's interesting because I usually like Hill because, or not so much now, but without Favors, when Hayward was out, George Hill was the guy, right? It was Hill and Rodney Hood. So I always felt like Hill was going to have a ball in his hands, and I liked him. I liked him back to his Indiana days. So Hill was a 22, Gordon Hayward was a 22-7-5, Rudy Gobert 19-13, and Rod Hood 16-6. So if you played really any of these Jazz players besides Trey Lyles, you felt good last night.
Now, it's interesting when you look at this Utah team. They've had a ton of injuries start of the year,
yeah.
And their lineup's never the same.
Yeah.
And Derek Favors is a guy that it was actually underpriced at the beginning of the year. You get him back in that lineup if we start to see a little uptake in the scoring, because right now it's just brutal. But they have been brutal last year as well there. But Derek Favors is a guy that I seem to use on this team more than anyone else.
And here, Tony, on the other side of things with the Nuggets, Jamal Murray played 35 minutes off the bench and scored 23 points again. We'll talk more about the Nuggets and a whole lot more about the NBA coming up next hour. We'll also preview all three of the Thanksgiving games here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
So, Tony, we get a call during your news update here. To hour number two, by the way, here at Roto Experts in the Morning. We get a call to our Fantasy Sports Network studios. Benny Riccardi. I was like, oh, my God. Either he heard us, you know, talking about him, right? And he wanted to call in. That was my first thought, right? My second thought was like, holy crap, Benny's not going to come in because he just won $1 million last night in basketball.
Yes.
Like, this is what I thought. He's calling and let us know, sorry, bitches, I'm out of here. Instead, it was the third reason that they would be in New York City with the parade going on behind us. They were not letting him in. Like, you don't have a card. You don't have a letter from your boss and you have to work. We cannot let you in. So they put Mike Florio on the phone with the police. And Mike Florio had to talk Benny into our building.
Really? So basically the police weren't letting him into the hotel to go to work?
Yes.
Yeah, I told them that, I said Benny's a host here at the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I told him where we're located, and then I said, to make it even like better, I said, well, his show started at 8 o'clock, and he's not here. And they said, oh, well, next year make sure you give him a letter so we know to let him in. But I guess Benny will be here shortly.
Benny will be here shortly. We'll get Benny on the show today.
Right, and we also get to tell people out there, if you work in New York, on
bring a letter.
Now, the letter could be from Mike Florio, who's actually, like, he's a step up from, like, Mike's not high up in the chain, but that would have worked, like, his confirmation got him in, so
Benny
anyone
did,
could get
Benny
in.
Benny did say I was his boss. He said, here, speak to my boss. And also, I asked Greg, I said, if worse comes to worse, should I run down the block, like, write a letter and run down the block with it saying, like, we need Benny Riccardi here ASAP.
I also like that, like, you didn't tell the cop just now, Benjamin Riccardi. Yeah, we need Benny. Get us Benny.
Benny's known, man. Oh, you're the guy who gives fantasy advice, right? I'm surprised they had to even ask who he was.
Yeah, that's funny. That's funny stuff.
What is going on here? I mean, that's kind of crazy, right? I mean, what the hell is going on here that with New York that letters get you anywhere?
Letters. Yeah, letters, because those are real.
From Mike Florio. And nevertheless, Mike, did you ever think you'd be so powerful?
No, I didn't. And I didn't even have to write a letter. I literally got on the phone. I could have been anybody. Like, he could have called his friend
yeah.
and said, pretend to be my boss. And that would have worked. But I just said, hey, we're at Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And he said, well, next year, give all your employees a letter. I should have said, well, I don't have any employees.
Click.
That's an amazing situation there.
Do you think...
Hope we didn't alert the terrorists to a way to...
I hope not. Hopefully not.
Just to have a letter.
Yeah. Hey, I was listening to your update, Tony, and I heard you went pretty deep on this trade. This baseball trade that took place where in the middle of the night where I woke up this morning, I was going over the headlines. I'm like, holy crap. Tylan Walker, who I draft every year, is now on the Diamondbacks.
I didn't know about the trade. It's like when I did the news show this morning, I didn't even know about this trade. I didn't look at baseball.
Why would you?
And then Mike Florio told me about it. I'm like, holy shit, right? So
yeah,
then
yeah.
I go and look at it. And this is a guy that I think when we look at it from Tylan Walker, we look at him as a disappointment. And this is what we do because nowadays we get so much information on these young players when they're in the minor leagues and things. He's 24 years of age. This guy's going to be a good pitcher at some point in Major League Baseball. And I think our expectations were out of whack from this early. Now, going over to the National League is going to help him because you get a lot off. But in that, the other thing is that's a good offensive ballpark there. And Seattle was a pitcher's ballpark.
Right.
So I'm interested to see how that one plays out. But I think this guy's going to be a stud pitcher at some point. And they had to do something in Arizona.
Agree.
And to think that you got a possible stud, as good as he was last year, Gene Segura had a career year, which you will never see again.
Yeah, you know, I totally agree with you again here, Tony, in that I draft Tylan Walker every single year. Every single year I draft him. And now I was actually thinking about this, and literally as you're doing your update, like, you know, Seattle's a good pitcher's ballpark, Arizona is not. But you have the whole AL to NL thing.
Yeah.
And then Gene Segura, who I had his rookie year, that I had him the year after where he stunk. And I know he had a lot of personal problems with his child. He came over at a career year in Arizona last year, and that goes to Seattle. I think he's going to stink again.
I totally agree. And there's even a chance that he could hit down in the order. They have a pretty deep order, and they keep trying to add to that. And if he doesn't hit leadoff, it's really going to kill his value.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. But, I mean, the goal for Seattle, of course, get him on base for Robinson Cano and Nelson Cruz to drive him in, theoretically. Theoretically, it's a great spot. Right? You know, it's a great spot, a better team, hopefully, which I don't know if that's true. But I feel like Seattle gave up way too much here, right? Giving up Tylan Walker and Kettle Marte. Like, what makes Marte? How do you know Marte won't be better than Segura?
He's a guy that's going to be able to hit leadoff, to get a decent batting average, steal some bases. The power numbers won't be there that we saw with Segura, but we didn't see them every year for Segura. Like, it's been one year that he came out and put it together. So, interesting. And to get a stud pitcher, you have to do something to get a stud pitcher, and they didn't have to do too much to get it. I mean, that's the great thing. And maybe we're going too far calling, but he has the tools. He could blossom into that type of pitcher. I mean, look at how many years it took Rick Porcello. He was a guy that was, and talent-wise, every scout in the world would say that Tylan Walker has more talent than a Rick Porcello.
Absolutely agree with that. And it seems like Seattle just got sick of Tylan Walker. Like, you heard his name rumored about in trade talks over the summer, and he was injured, I believe, at the time. He had that recurring knee issue. And now they trade him away for what I thought really wasn't all that much, because a young pitcher, still young, still has some development left. You thought there would be a little bit more there. And interestingly enough, this is what they trade him away for.
Yeah, I'm a little bit mystified by it as well. So we'll see how it plays out. We'll be talking drafts on this channel more than you. Not too far away.
Please don't do this to us.
You don't like draft talk?
I don't like draft talk when it's November. So I don't like draft talk now.
January. Once we get down
February?
The end of the football.
I could do February.
Yeah, you got to have 3 months of exhaustive draft talk.
Oh, jeez.
You know what? You know what's the forgotten stepchild? But thank God for Daily Fantasy. And the one thing Daily Fantasy has done is saved a lot of the other sports, like basketball.
Right.
I went for 4 years with being the only guy that would cover basketball on SiriusXM.
Right.
And we could only do 1 or 2 seconds before I would get yelled at.
Right.
Because people didn't give a shit about it.
Sure.
But Daily Fantasy made it
relevant.
The point where we were doing it. Yeah, I did a whole hour show every day on Daily Fantasy Basketball. And thank God for those Daily Fantasy, because it got some of these sports a little more airtime. That was the only reason baseball was even talked about for 2 months during the because of Daily Fantasy Baseball and not the season long.
Oh, so I love Daily Basketball. That's why you and I talk about it every day here.
Yeah. It's great things, and I think more and more sports, I talk about it all the time. Now I even have an appreciation for golf, which I never had from a Daily Fantasy. MMA.
Right.
I feel like I know what's going on in those situations there, and that's the thing at Daily Fantasy. I think it's brought a lot more for the fantasy sports fan. I think before we had baseball fans, we had football fans, you know, guys. Now we just have fantasy players.
Now we just have, I think so too. I think so too, to a large degree, anyway. Let's get into some news and notes here from around the NFL from yesterday. And I want to start once again with Rob Gronkowski. Because the support all morning was that Rob Gronkowski, they're preparing for him not to play. He's going to, you know, they've already told the players they are prepping to be without Rob Gronkowski. And then all of a sudden, who walks out of the tunnel in full pads and gear? Rob Gronkowski. This is the Patriots playing games, right, Tony?
Yeah, and this is I expect him to play.
I do, too.
The only problem is that we've seen him play before and play sparingly. Play on 16 plays. So we don't know if that's going to happen. If I own Rob Gronkowski and I don't have a guy as a backup that you could have got late, that could have paid off. I don't see a lot of teams having another guy. You have to take the chance, and you have to put him out there.
Yeah, I totally, totally agree with you that he's one of the guys you're going to have to start, but definitely be prepared to be let down. Like, whether he plays or not, if he's active, you have to play him. Whether he plays or not is what I'm trying to say. There you go.
It's just one of those things. Never confuse the result with the decision, right? So you're going to have to go out there. Another story that came out yesterday is interesting that we've talked about all week was Sammy Watkins.
Yep,
now, the Buffalo News is reporting, if I'm healthy enough to play, they think I'm healthy, then I'm going to go out there. I'm not going to go out there unhealthy.
Right. Yeah, so this is we talked about this all morning yesterday.
And like, it's most absurd.
So you gave your statement. I'm healthy, you know. He goes, I feel 100%. I'm not going to go out there if I'm unhealthy. If I'm healthy enough to play and they think I'm healthy enough to play, I'm going to play. But if the game was tomorrow, I wouldn't be healthy enough to play. What in the hell does that mean?
I have no idea what is going on here, and it sounds like a little bit of Sybil is going on here.
Yes.
Because he declares himself healthy, and then he's second-guessing it. So he doesn't have confidence in his ability, at least is what you can take away from this. And I don't know what to think of it. I would not play him if he plays.
I would not, me either. Well, we said that yesterday. We wanted to give him a week or two before we even considered putting him in our lineup.
Yeah, this is a situation where we've gone this route before, and he hasn't been able to play. And now I at least know there is some indecisiveness with this kind of rhetoric going on.
Yeah, absolutely, especially when it comes to Rex Ryan, who doesn't really care about anything but himself.
No, certain guys like that remind. I don't know how they keep getting jobs in the National Football League, because I really think that when you look at a guy like that, he's a perfect guy as a coordinator, right? To take a defense, make a game plan, go at it. But leading a team, I've said this time and time again, I don't care what the sport is, it's more of a CEO situation, and he is not that type of a guy.
No, he's not. I mean, he'll do very well on TV, but after that, but before that, nothing going on.
You think he'd be a Fox Sports guy?
Yes. Like. Yes, certainly. Or ESPN.
You think he'd be an ESPN guy? Sometimes they're a little conservative over there, guy. Like, they have to have, you know, one crazy guy.
Who's a crazy guy now?
Michael, well, it used to be Michael Irvin, so he's gone,
he's
right?
He's
long gone. Who would be the guy now, the little crazy outside the box? Well, you could make the case for Randy Moss.
Is he really, though? I don't know.
No, he's become politically correct, Randy Moss, but there is occasions where he's, you could tell by facial expressions, he's not in love with what they're talking about.
Okay. All right. I agree with that. But I think Rex Ryan will be the bombastic one. All I want is one of these coaches to come out and actually just say what they mean, like, not, just say something interesting. That's kind of all I'm looking for.
Who would be the guy other than Rex Ryan that would do that?
But will Rex Ryan actually say something interesting, or he'll just, you know, not really say anything?
I don't think he's going to say anything interesting from a schematic standpoint, but he might be talking about the plays. Like, he's one of those old rah-rah guys, I think, back in the day. I don't know if that will translate well to today in breaking down the tape. Would he be better than Mike Ditker on TV?
I think so, personally.
Really?
Yeah.
See, Ditka is a guy that would at least, you know, every once in a while have, like, a point.
Right.
I don't know if Rex will ever get to a point where he'd have a point.
Yeah, you're probably right. It's a good point. I just don't think Rex would say anything interesting. That's my problem. I don't think he would say anything remotely interesting. You'd be John Gruden, exactly.
You'd be John Gruden?
Yes.
That guy's the greatest of all time. Look at the energy and the atmosphere he brought there.
That guy's a big hitter. That guy's a big hitter. And you know what? They would make an ESPN 2 afternoon show starring both Ryan brothers, Rex and Rob, and it would be good TV for the Ryans and nobody else.
Do you think that what's going on with Donald Trump TV? Is that still happening?
Trump TV will probably happen literally January 21st from whenever he is no longer president of the United States.
Really? So
there's a chance that Trump's going to resign at some point during his presidency. I can see that. Like, what? I don't want to do it. I don't want to deal with this anymore.
No, because even if he did want to do it, he would not resign.
Why?
He would just because he likes being in the limelight. He'll like being on there. So basically what he would do is he would just be a good delegator. He would delegate his responsibilities and take care of everything else that he likes to do.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, I guess you're right. Like Mike Pence is going to run the country anyway. You might as well just let Trump stay president.
Do you think he will, or do you think I don't know if Mike Pence is the guy to be running the country. I think that the former Republican committee is going to be the guy running the country.
Rince Priebus?
Yes.
Mm, fantastic. Even better. All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk some more NBA, some more NFL. We'll go around the sports world and so much more. Roto Experts for the Morning, rolling to 10 a.m. Eastern Time here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Rush the morning. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Tony, in case you're wondering, Benny has he's made it here. He's alive.
He has made it alive. You know, I was just reading during the commercial break that Jill Stein has raised money to have an election recount.
In what state?
In the three of the states that Donald Trump won,
right.
They're going to have a recount. That would be Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin.
Jill Stein has raised that money.
Yeah, Jill Stein has raised the money. She had 1% of the vote,
right.
But she is somehow calling for a recount.
Yeah.
And she's raised $2 million to have a recount, and they've actually raised more than $2 million needed. And they've pointed out irregularities in the voting because after predictions by all the prognostications of Hillary Clinton winning those states.
Right.
And then they believe there was Russian involvement and they would like the votes recounted.
Is that, it doesn't seem possible, right? Like, nothing's going to come of this, right?
I would think not, right? But somehow people, you know, that's the thing about when people criticize Barack Obama.
Yeah.
I say, people got a lot of money. Like, they just gave this lady $2 million for something that's never going to happen.
Yeah. I'm just very confused. Like, I would love, that would be cool, but it doesn't seem like anything will come of this.
No.
Right?
Well, that's what I'm saying. People have expendable incomes.
Yeah. Going back to fantasy here for a moment, I was really thinking about this either last night or this morning. They all kind of blend together, Tony. About this Doriel Green Beckham thing for this weekend?
Yes.
I kind of like it. The more I thought about it, the more I want to play Doriel Green Beckham.
Now, this is an interesting take because we're looking at a game where we have a receiver that has disappointed on every stretch of the imagination anyone could ever disappoint.
Yes.
Going against a secondary that can't stop anyone.
Right.
And yet we're looking at a team that doesn't want to throw the ball, but they're going to have to throw the ball in this game. So you look at these things, and these are two sides that are opposite on each end of the spectrum. And I agree with you. If you're looking at a minimum salary guy and you want to get guys in, why not take a shot on this guy? And they basically, coach even came out, which I can't believe Doug Peterson would do this. Doug Peterson says it looks like this week we're going to give Nelson Aguilar less opportunities. Why would you say that as a coach? Like, what is he doing? You just do it. You don't talk about it to the newspaper.
But, like, I'm not even talking about in daily. I'm talking about in seasonal. You convinced me yesterday.
I think you can. If you got this far and you still have a problem at wide receiver, you could do it. I just don't see a lot of people in that place.
Well, because you were all about, like, I have this flex. It was going to be Jerick McKinnon. I don't want to start Jerick McKinnon today.
I would, you know what? I would definitely take a shot over McKinnon.
So, but it was, you told me I had these two spots, right? I have Britton, one of them, and right now I have Quincy Enunwa, because you liked Quincy Enunwa yesterday.
Yeah.
But I really think I want to start in one of these spots, the real Green Beckham, on Monday night. I think it's a good spot for him.
I'm actually looking up.
Is that like
right
crazy
now.
To do?
I don't think it. Like, I have.
Screw Quincy Enunwa. He sucks anyway.
I like Enunwa.
I know
think
you
in,
do.
In that game there. But I would play him over McKinnon.
I'm only starting Britt because he's facing New Orleans, but Jared Goff stinks anyway.
Yeah.
Oh,
you're lining it up. You're on a roll now. You're going to be buying in.
Well, I am. You literally have bought me in on this schmuck.
And then we'll all be sitting there Monday night waiting for Carson Wentz to throw the ball 40 times.
That's all I'm going to root for. That's correct. Carson Wentz throws the ball.
If he throws 40 times, he has to get 7-8 targets.
And you know, and you know how I feel about this, Tony, so incredibly incorrectly, that I want to also try to limit as many players as I have today and get more on Monday. You know that.
Really?
Yes. I don't want to. I don't want to lose on Thursday.
Well, what about winning on Thursday?
That seems so unlikely.
We do have a game with a 52 total.
And I know.
The Indianapolis game is 48. I mean,
so the truth is, on this particular team that I have Ezekiel Elliott. So I feel like no matter what happens, like today's a huge day for me with Zeke going.
Oh yeah, it absolutely is, and you got to throw it out there. He'll be in there. So go all in today.
Nah,
go all in on Thursday.
I'm not going
enjoy
all
your turkey.
Thursday. No,
count your points.
I'm too nervous. I don't. Really? I just want to have a chance on Sunday.
See, I'm the guy that likes to be. I'm a big front runner. I like to be ahead,
right?
Because you're always ahead until you're behind.
It's a great point. So then it's a great point. So then in the other league, I'm starting Fat Rob today, and then my other flex you guys were talking about yesterday, Cole Beasley. I have Marvin Jones. I'm not going to start him. I have Dante Moncrief. I'm not going to start him. So it comes down to Cole Beasley. Or I could not play Cole Beasley and put in Zach Ertz for Monday night.
It's interesting that you're going to go Cole Beasley over Marvin Jones, right? If we went back 4 weeks, 5, 6 weeks ago, people would have thought you're crazy.
He just seems safer.
He definitely is. And now we're looking at this, though. I'm going to look at the Thursday night games.
Yeah.
Cole Beasley.
Right.
You got to figure what, 13 fantasy points from him?
I'd say so. Yeah.
And then Marvin Jones, it's been a long time here. I actually like Marvin Jones a little in today's game, but I couldn't go. If you are a conservative type, I couldn't go in my season long and put him in over Cole Beasley.
Cole Beasley is going to be safer. I know that. Just give me some points. Just give me a couple points. That's all I'm looking for.
That's all you want? A couple points? Hang in there?
I told you, I just want to avoid losing today. So now, okay, let me ask you this. And this is something we haven't talked about, and I'd love to get your thoughts on this, Tony. So you play in how many season-long leagues?
I play four.
You play four season-long leagues, and you play quite a bit of daily every single week.
And I play a bunch of best balls, so I don't have to do anything with them.
So right, I don't want to count.
So four, I just have to change my lineup.
Yeah. So four season-long daily changes, we'll call them. Or weekly changes. And then you play quite a few daily contests every week.
Yeah.
How do you know who to root for? So I have Ezekiel Elliott, I just told you today. But in my other league, and I'm trying to make the playoffs in both of them, 6-5-1 or 7-4 in the other. So both are in very similar spots. One league I have Ezekiel Elliott. The other league I play Ezekiel Elliott. What am I supposed to root for?
This is so funny you say this. So I have one league with a Greenwich Street Tavern League that Scott always talks about.
Yes.
That we pay $250, but
it's a lot of money.
That all of us too are all friendly and everybody is listeners to the show, and there's a lot of guys on the show in the league. That is the only league that I know what's going on during the weekend.
Okay.
The other three leagues I don't know until Monday what's happening. So I put my changes, I do that, but I have the one league up on my laptop or on my phone, depending on where I am. And then I go into daily, I go to my contest page, which tells me how much money I'm winning at that point.
Okay.
And that ends up being like the Jerry Lewis Muscular Dystrophy Telethon. I watch that go up and down all day.
Yes.
So those are the two things I'm watching as I watch the games. The one league.
Okay.
And then the my contest page to see how I'm doing.
All right. So the GST league obviously is your priority league. And then you have your contest page, which you watch go up and down all day.
Yeah.
All right. So both to me, these two leagues are two separate groups of friends that I am in, and I care about them equally. And I don't know what to do.
Well, when you're rooting against each other, you know what? But then you just root against your opponent. You look who your opponents have, right?
Yeah.
And you have to root against them.
But we have the same guy. Well, it makes it very hard.
If you have Ezekiel Elliott, you root for him to have a good day.
Right.
But they could falter on the others, right?
I mean, that's the thing. So today, I told you I want to avoid losing today, and this is the league I have Cole Beasley in. My opponent has Kirk Cousins, Zeke, Kyle Rudolph tonight, Adam Vinatieri. He's got a lot going on today.
Yeah, so whenever the one thing that I always root for, when I get down to, like, I'll know Monday night, like, all the leagues, exactly what I need to happen.
Right.
So I start rooting for kickers in those Monday night games. Like, I'm a big kicker rooter on Monday night.
Yeah.
Because I'm rooting for the other guys.
Yeah.
Not to get any points. And you want kickers. Like, it's the weirdest thing in fantasy football. Like, Jake Seeley wants the elimination of kickers, and I get that.
Right.
But I sit there rooting for kickers because that's your defense.
Sure.
When you're in fantasy football.
Absolutely.
It's the kicker coming out on the field and the 6 points ending, the opportunity for 6 points ending for your opponent's fantasy players.
But you know what's the best is when you play, when you're playing with kickers, like you have a kicker on your team,
yeah,
and you're just rooting for the offense to get stopped so your guy gets a 50-yard field goal.
It is so effing crazy to think about that whole thing. And like, I've done a lot, and I am so much better a fantasy player than when I first started because
right.
I have a lot of smart people around me.
And
you learn things. I have not learned successfully from any single person ever on how to successfully pick a kicker. Like, there is no strategy whatsoever that I've heard. I know Benny's laying around. I don't know if he's in the studio.
He's
like,
here.
Nobody has given me great kicking advice of how to go out and pick a kicker.
Benny, he's all bundled up. It looks like he's going to have his 14th cigarette of the day. you're on what number cigarette here? No, this is cigarette number 3.
Yes.
Okay, so going for cigarette. But Benny Riccardi is here, ladies and gentlemen. Nice and early this morning. Good morning, Benny.
Yeah, they almost didn't let me down today. I almost
they
didn't.
They put me in cuffs today?
Yeah, I almost got arrested. I didn't even do anything wrong, Tony, I swear.
Now, cigarettes are expensive. Is that what you spend all your daily money? Like, how much does a pack of cigarettes cost?
Well, I don't buy them in New York because in New York they're like $15,
right,
which is ridiculous. In Jersey,
right,
they're like $7, which is still.
But what
when
you run out in New York? Like, today you're spending a lot of your day in New York. What are you gonna? Did you bring like an extra pack today?
Of course.
So do you buy by the carton?
I do, actually. And you know what the funny thing is? In, like, other states, it's a lot cheaper because
right. In
this area, like New York, New Jersey, we tax the hell out of it.
Yeah, we don't want people to do it.
Yeah, so whenever my friends come visit me from, like, out
North
of state.
Carolina
yeah,
or whatever.
They bring cigarettes for me.
That's very,
just
very nice
of them.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. So, Tony, so it's about 8:30 in the morning. Benny's going to have his third cigarette of the day.
Yes,
it's usually another commercial. He's already drinking a bottle of Pepsi. He's about halfway through his first Red Bull.
Oh, shit.
He might have a heart attack on the air.
Life is all about balancing the uppers and downers, man.
Where's the downer?
It's the cigarette.
The cigarette, right.
Oh, Benny, what's a man, now, you do have a will, though, right?
Oh, yeah. I have a will. Yeah. I had the truster set up for the kids. It's all good.
Yeah, so do you find your wife leaving you cigarettes in the morning?
No. You know, it's pretty funny, too, though, because, I mean, like, my wife, like, doesn't eat anything bad. She
right.
works
yeah.
out
right.
like
wife,
every day.
Right.
Like
sus,
you know,
sus Benny, she does CrossFit, right?
Yes.
Benny's out
really?
Here smoking three cigarettes by 8:30 in the morning.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, opposites attract.
I guess so. She must be really attracted to your cigarette breath.
Yes,
yeah.
she hates the cigarette breath.
Obviously,
but you know what?
No
that's,
woman likes that.
That's why they make mouthwash
that's
and stuff
true.
Like that. And,
right.
You know,
some gum.
And see, the other thing is, you guys see me when I'm away from home. Like, I can't smoke in my house. I have three kids. I can't smoke in the house, so I get all my cigarettes in.
Wait, so what? Like, do you go outside to have a cigarette, or do you just
I
not
mean,
smoke
I,
there?
On occasion, but honestly,
for
when
the most part.
When I'm home with the kids and everything, like I don't have any free time.
You can't even get. You can't even go to the bathroom, much less smoke a cigarette.
I honestly can't go to the bathroom without somebody knocking on the door trying to come in. Like, I haven't, like, you know, like when you were younger and you used to go in there and, like, you know, you take, like, a nice relaxing
take your
dump.
Time.
Like, no, that no longer is allowed.
Like, I got home last night. I got home from dinner last night. My roommate's not home. Like, he's home for Thanksgiving. I was like, wow, this is great. I sat in the bathroom for a good half hour enjoying life.
I do not have that. When you have kids, you no longer have that luxury.
I'm going to not have
it's
kids
crazy
for a while,
too. I've never had a drink in my house. Like, I've never,
really?
Ever.
Yeah, I don't.
Even,
I don't.
In front I don't
of my
put it in the
either.
Fridge.
You know, you want to have like a beer in front of your kids?
No, never.
Is this a thing that changes? I like to have a beer.
I mean, when they get,
I like to have a beer.
You know, when my kid's like 18 or 17,
right,
you know,
right.
Like, I won't care, you know. But like, you know, there's you try to set a good. Like, I don't even smoke in front of the kids. I try.
That's good.
You know, I try to make
right,
sure.
Right. Right.
My kids think of me as a nice person. They don't know all the.
They don't know
anything
about
the
you.
Other side of daddy.
Yeah. True, true story. When I was younger, my dad, like, we'd have family dinner almost every night. He comes home from work. We'd all have dinner. So my dad, like, he was very into wine. He'd have a glass of wine. I mean, this is from the time I could remember in first grade through the rest of my life. He has wine, and he loves wine. He's a big wine connoisseur, he'll call himself. We go to dinner now. Now, I mean, on the wine, of course, now, but. I mean, I could drink anything. I don't care. It could be a $5 thing at Trader Joe's. It's fine with me. But, you know, he's very, very into wine from the first grade through whatever. So when I was in eighth grade, I think. You're learning, or maybe earlier, you're learning, like, dare and alcoholism. You know, if your parents drink every night, they're alcoholics. Like, is my dad an alcoholic? Because he has a glass of wine every night at dinner? And I pondered this thought to myself.
That's it, man.
And I asked my teacher, like, was it just like a glass of wine during dinner? I'm like, yeah. He's like, no, you're good. Don't worry about it. But, yeah, so my parents have always drank wine throughout the day. They're not, like, sitting, kicking back beers all day or having a bottle of Jack that you had last night during your show.
Yeah. First off, it was Jim Beam, it was not what I asked for. I sent Frank there, and I said, get a bottle of bourbon.
Frank? Okay.
And I gave him, like, four names of, like, good bourbons, because I was like, we're only getting, like, a fifth. There was only, like, three of us here. I'm like, you're getting Woodford Reserve or, like, something like
that. Sure, nice, something nice.
He came back with Jim Beam.
Well, he's a college kid. What are you going to
That was the mistake I made.
Right. So for him, getting a bottle of Jim is very nice.
Yeah, he was like, hey, I didn't get you to pop off vodka. I was like, all right, well, yeah, that's true. I didn't get you
the one that was, like, the non-glass bottle, you know what I mean?
Oh, no, it was the plastic bottle. Oh, okay, yes. Good. It was right. The plastic, okay. We went old plastic.
You know what's crazy is that if you sent Don, he would never have came back.
Yeah, he would have went upstairs to hang out with the chick that does the front desk at Rock and Riley's.
With a bottle of Georgie.
Yeah.
I had a drink at Rock and Riley's yesterday. I had two drinks at Rock and Riley's yesterday.
I only had one.
You only had one.
You beat me, yeah.
I had two. I thought I realized how expensive they are.
Oh, that's why I only had one.
The last time I drank at Rock and Riley's, Lou was in the thing, right? But I didn't sit with Lou, right? But I said, make sure the bill goes to that guy right over there. And I left. And I never heard from my boss. I still have a job, so I think it worked out well.
That's great.
Hey, let's take a break here, gentlemen. We're going to keep shooting this shit for the next 2 hours. Stick around. Roto Experts in the Morning continues after this. Go smoke a cigarette, Penny. Yeah. Roto Experts rolling on this morning. Very fun and enjoyable and relaxed edition of the program, Tony. Hey, during the 9 o'clock hour, we'll go game by game, preview what we got. Inactives will come out for the first game around 10:30, right?
I think 11 because it's a 12:30
start.
Game. 12:30
start.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. So look for that during the Fantasy News Desk, which comes your way at 11. Coming up at 10, Nando DeFino actually coming in this morning. Fantasy Best Friends Forever.
Now, what's his deal? Why is he working today? Is he a guy that needed to get out of the house as well?
I think he chose to work. I think I think he chose to work, yeah.
He's trying to lead by example?
Yeah, he is leading by example here, exactly, yes.
Now, who are his best friends today?
I'm sure Jake Seeley will be his best friend, right?
Yeah.
So Jake Seeley, normal show, just no Corey Parson on the program today.
So Jake and Nando talking to each other.
Yes. We'll talk to each other every day.
Yeah, but they're two guys. No, but when it's just the focus is on them, they're two guys that are not very much alike.
No, but that's what makes them best friends, right? Opposite
contrasting. Track. Yeah, contrasting.
Yeah. So I think it's pretty. I think it's pretty good stuff, personally. I'm excited to listen to it. I'll be here. I know Tony. You got DFS today at 11:30. But after this program, you're done till tonight, right? You're gonna watch some football.
I'm done 7 p.m. tonight. Make some turkey, go for a little bike ride, and get ready for the lineups. I actually got a lot of lineups in already, so I don't think I have to. The one thing that you're gonna watch for at 11 today is Stephon Diggs to make sure he's out of the lineup.
That's the big news. And if Stephon Diggs is out of the lineup, maybe even if he isn't, what are we? Adam Thielen's a guy we like, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I'll tell you what. If he plays Diggs, I don't know what to do because I really thought he would be the top receiver, and he had a chance to be better than Antonio Brown today. Because you can make the case in that Pittsburgh game that they could run the ball tonight, and they could run it down the throat of that Indianapolis defense.
Right.
But Detroit, the way to attack them is through secondary, and we saw Diggs get 16 targets in games, things like that. Like, he would be a guy that really could end up being the number one wide receiver at the end of the day. But if you take him out, I think Thielen's guy there, and I like Cordarrelle Patterson too. I'd put both these guys for cheap in that lineup and load up with Ezekiel Elliott, Le'Veon Bell, and Antonio Brown, and those two guys could offset having those big salaries in there.
You know, even from a season long perspective, I kind of like this Adam Thielen dude, Benny.
Yeah, I'm actually a big fan today. I liked him a lot more when Stephon Diggs was playing.
Really?
Yeah. Well, here's the deal, because there's one good cornerback on Detroit, Darius Slay.
Right.
So if Diggs was playing, you know, Slay is one of those guys who shadows every game.
Right.
So, like, last game, you know, Diggs was shadowed by Peterson, and he kind of took him out of the game, and Thielen got a touchdown. They threw some passes to Rudolph. I was expecting the same thing today. If Diggs was playing, you figured Slay would have shadowed Diggs, and then Bradford would have had to go to everybody else.
Now, Diggs hasn't been ruled out yet. We'll find that out, like we said, around 11 a.m. Eastern. He's questionable.
I'm hoping that he plays. I wouldn't use him.
You wouldn't use Diggs?
No, but I'm hoping he plays because it makes Thielen a much better. Thielen and Rudolph a better play.
Slay's the best cornerback. He's the best cornerback on the team, but he's good, but he's not great by any stretch.
He's not Patrick Peterson good. Yeah, I agree.
He's not great by any stretch of the imagination. And I don't think Thielen gets the respect that he would be covering him. Basically, I think that you'll see Slay just stay on one side of the field.
You know, I just noticed here, Tony. So yesterday, Benny Ricciardi came back in here, and he was all dressed up, right?
I don't know if I was all dressed up. I was a little dressed
up. You look good. Yeah, there's a little button-down shirt on, and it was a little good. Are you now wearing the same button-down shirt?
No, this is a different one.
Okay.
Yes.
That was what I was wondering. You just opened it up today.
This is the nice one.
Oh, it's a Burberry one. I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
Well,
I got to go.
Yeah, it's a really nice shirt.
Yeah, in between shows, I have to go to the family party for, you know, Thanksgiving all that.
Oh, are going to the family party. We just thought you were going to be drinking upstairs all day.
I mean, I want to, believe me. The rest of my family is in Connecticut.
Right,
my wife and kids are gone.
Yeah,
so I'm going over to my aunt's house and all that stuff.
Oh. We really thought you were going to eat wings and drink upstairs.
If
I'm going to have to, like, you know, give them blood in order to get down the block next time, I think by the time
you come back, everything will be
open. Yeah, it's 7 o'clock, you know, 6:30 at night or whatever. I don't think I should have a problem getting back in here, but you never know.
Hey, according to Ian Rappaport, Laquon Treadwell will start tonight. Or this afternoon.
That means Diggs is out.
Which means Diggs is out.
Yeah.
Adam Thielen may end up paying the slot more, which means...
That is actually a benefit.
Because he will not go against the aforementioned Darius Slay.
Does Laquon Treadwell still have one catch on the season?
Does he have one?
He does have one, certainly.
Yeah. I'm going to have to look that up. Think about this. This is a big stage for Laquon Treadwell to get an opportunity.
Thanksgiving!
Got huge expectations. And to come in and have a shot here, this would be crazy.
Tony, how upset are you? I apologize. How upset are you that John Gruden doesn't announce the Thursday night games? Wouldn't you want to see a Gruden turkey, like one of those Gruden turkeys, like a Madden thing?
You know, it does make sense. He certainly fits into that role, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't he? That he would be giving out the turkeys? Yeah, I never thought about it, but now that you mention it, we got to get him in on this.
I agree.
How did Sean McDonough? Hey, you're big into this, though. How did Sean McDonough find himself back into the national scene and get some of these games lately?
Oh, so Sean McDonough is the Monday Night Football announcer.
Did he get that role?
Well, so Tirico obviously left for NBC. And they were looking at who, you know, who should fill that role. And they felt like Sean McDonough had paid his dues and is a very solid, good announcer for them. So that's the direction they went in.
That's shocking because he's been around for 30 years. So he's certainly a fan of his.
He's been around forever.
Believe.
You're right. But, you know, he was one of the younger people to call the World Series and Super Bowls and whatnot. And then he really went into a bit of a lull. He might have had, like, personality issues. And then he needed to, like, calm down. And he went, paid his dues, and now he's back.
Laquon Treadwell not only has one catch this season, he has one target. So not very good thus far this season for Laquon Treadwell.
But it would be good news for Adam Thielen if Laquon Treadwell does start, because Treadwell will be on one side. It means Cordarrelle Patterson will be on the other with Thielen in the slot here.
I like all these guys with the exception of Treadwell. I think Patterson's a guy that wouldn't shock me at the end of the day, Benny, if he's on a team that wins the wishbone.
He's one of those guys that the draft analytics guys like fell in love with because he's, you know, like a ridiculous athlete, and everybody has been expecting him to break out for years. You know, I don't know. I guess he doesn't run good routes or he doesn't have good
hands.
No,
he doesn't run any routes. He's Sammy Coates. He just runs down the field.
Okay, so he's just your deep threat kind of guy.
Yeah, and in this matchup against the Lions, though, their defensive backs are so poor, and we've seen so many teams put up good games against them. it wouldn't shock me if we can get a big play out of him today. And at $3,600 at DraftKings, he comes into play. But Thielen's the guy. I think that Patterson, if you're going to play multiple teams, you can throw him on a team. I wouldn't go anywhere near Treadwell, despite him starting.
Should I play my first daily game today, football season?
You haven't played any daily football? Are you serious?
Not one game.
Oh, my God. Do it.
Should I get in the game here?
Yeah.
Oh,
be
man.
A degenerate like the rest of us.
I don't know. I haven't even considered it. But it kind of sounds fun now that I'm thinking about it.
Honestly,
go
ahead, Tony.
Yeah.
Giving thanks on Thanksgiving Day. That's how you give thanks.
Yeah,
you know what? And honestly, these are the worst slates, too. Like, I hate the three-game slates. Like, this would not be the slate I would choose to be the one I played if I played one all season.
Really?
Yes.
So I shouldn't. So you're saying I shouldn't do this?
Though? No, you should definitely do it. What else?
You just told me not to do it.
No, I just said I wouldn't. I said I wouldn't do it, but then again, I'm not you. But here's what I would say.
Right?
Are you going to sit around and watch football all day today?
That's the plan.
All right, then you gotta have something.
Well, I have real fantasy to root for. Season long.
So daily isn't real fantasy.
Well, it's not season long fantasy.
You're right. It's better.
Is it better? I don't know. That's better.
It's better.
Let's see here. I'm quickly making a lineup here. Let's see.
Well, you have like 3 hours, so you don't have to do.
Well, I don't even know if I'm going to enter this. I'm kind of just fooling around right now.
Okay.
And it seems pretty fun.
Benny, I'm shocked. I'm shocked today. I put a poll up at Atlanta for 2 days on the top quarterback play on Thanksgiving.
Right.
I thought Ben Roethlisberger would win going away, and he was actually the third option. Kirk Cousins had 40% of the vote. I'm shocked against Dallas there. But also, I seen something this morning that I haven't seen before. That game opened up as a 48 total. It's 52. I've seen him go down 4 points. I've never seen him go up 4 points because going down, a play gets hurt, the wind, the weather. What the hell's going on that the total went up 4 points?
I don't know, but I saw the same thing, which is why I put in – I already had a couple Cousins lineups. I put in some Dak Prescott lineups today.
He was the second choice. Ben came in third.
I don't think it's great. Listen, I think that game – and again, you know, like you said, you saw the spread make a big – you saw the total make a big move. I think that's going to be the highest scoring game on the day. So, you know, if everybody is going to go Cousins, which is what I think people are going to do, I want a piece of that game. So I said, you know what? See, here's the thing about a three-game slate. Like,
you
look at these tournaments. If you're playing in one of these big tournaments like the Wishbone on DraftKings or the Turkey Bowl or whatever they call it on FanDuel, you got 50, 100,000 entries in some of these tournaments.
Right.
If you're going with the chalk, you got 40. You know, there's only six choices. There's only six quarterbacks. There's only six teams playing. You know, a couple people are going to throw Tolzien rosters in there, but for the most part, you're going to have five guys at quarterback that everybody's using.
Sure.
There's going to be so much overlap. Like, the way you got to win this today, you either need to go with a whole bunch of guys in the mid-range and hope you get lucky, like guys that you think will be 15 to 20% owned as opposed to 40 or 50% owned, or you have to find that one guy that's 1% owned that – you know, like maybe it's a Cordarrelle Patterson who catches a 60-yard touchdown pass. Or maybe it's, you know, I don't know, like a Robert Turbin who gets two touchdowns on the goal line or something like that. That's going to be the guy who winds up winning this thing. You have a normal team of solid plays, and then you have that one guy that's like 1% owned that goes nuts
The only problem with that is that you can't go too crazy here, Benny, because there's only six teams playing. Mm. And Le'Veon Bell is a situation where he should be 100% owned.
Yes.
Because the bottom line is you can't give up 30 points, right, by fading this guy and putting in other guys and think you can make that up anywhere when you only have three games.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, honestly, this is what I'm saying is, like, you almost have to play Bell. You almost have to play Ezekiel Elliott because you know that even a bad game from either one of these guys is going to probably make them one of the top two or three scorers at the position.
So I told you guys to make a lineup. In the last minute, I've made a lineup.
Okay.
Would you like to hear it, guys?
Sure.
All right. My quarterback's Kirk Cousins.
Okay.
All right. My running backs are Ezekiel Elliott and Le'Veon Bell.
Right.
It's pretty good. Wide receiver, I'm a little weak. I have Cole Beasley.
I like it.
I have Cordarrelle Patterson.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Antonio Brown.
Okay, he's pretty good.
Yeah. Tight end is Kyle Rudolph against Detroit.
Uh-huh.
Then Matt Prater is my kicker.
Uh-huh.
And the Steelers defense.
Now, this is what I'm saying. You know, you did...
I'm just trying to double up here.
Yeah, like you did exactly what I think you need to do today.
Okay.
You took all the guys who are very likely to be the highest scorers at their position.
Yes.
You know, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, Ezekiel Elliott.
Yes.
You know, quarterback is where you can get some differentiation today because any, you know, what do we always say about quarterbacks? You know, why is the whole zero quarterback or late round quarterback thing take off? Because there's not a lot of difference between what the quarterbacks can do. It's a very, there's a little bit of variance in there.
Right.
And even if you're the best quarterback in the best matchup, if you throw for 250 and two, somebody else could wind up being down in a game in garbage time, get 275 and three and be the higher score. So I think quarterback is where you, where you're going to win it today. And then I think like your one, you know, punt play, as we call it, or home run play, which in your case is Cordarrelle Patterson.
Sure.
If he catches that big touchdown, that's going to be a roster that finishes high in whatever tournament
one,
it is.
Sure.
You know,
one thing interesting he did, though, is that he's got Kirk Cousins and he doesn't have a single Washington player to go with him.
Is that bad?
Not necessarily.
But if Cousins, say, throws three touchdowns, what you're hoping is that nobody catches two.
All right, right? So I'll take out Cole Beasley, putting James in
Cowboys. No, you don't. That's actually a good thing because people usually always stack.
Right.
So that's
absolutely.
That's a way you get differentiation. Yeah. And here's the other thing, too. You know, the other thing that people don't realize, one of the biggest weeks I ever had in daily, I had Andy Dalton, and I didn't use any of his pass catchers.
Interesting.
And most of the time people take Dalton and you just stack him with A.J. Green and you go that way. But A.J. Green was really expensive that week, didn't really have a great matchup. Now, what happened in the game was Eifert caught one touchdown pass, but he only had like three or four catches. A.J. Green caught a touchdown pass, but he only finished with like 16 or 17 fantasy points.
Right.
Giovanni Bernard had one, but none of those pass catchers, because they were all like a little bit priced, none of them went like 4 or 5X value. So really, it was all spread. And then Andy Dalton actually ran one into the end zone too. So he wound up with like 36 points. And none of his pass catchers had more than like 18. So it actually worked out.
Interesting. All right. Let's hang on one second. Let's take a break. We'll keep talking about this as we go to the top of the hour here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, Greg Sussman, Benny Riccardi, Tony Zicata, hanging out with you. Mike Florio's here as well. Florio, did you come up with any games for us today by any chance?
Did I make any games?
Yeah.
No, I could.
I mean, you know, it's not a big deal.
Oh, wait, is this Mike lying?
No, lying.
You did make a game.
We're gonna play that tomorrow. We'll play it tomorrow. I don't know any games.
The Friday edition, the Black Friday edition of his Mike Florio line.
The African American Friday edition, yes. Lions running back Amir Abdullah had a positive appointment with Dr. Robert Anderson. Foot is structurally sound. We'll see how much the Lions can accelerate the rehab. This is all according to Ian Rappaport. DeAndre Levy is questionable, but he's not expected to play today. And AP is on track to return this season. There you go. This is the latest updates from Ian Rappaport, Tony.
Yeah, DeAndre Levy is one of those guys. If you play IDP circles, he's great, but he's not a great linebacker. He like makes all his tackles 5 yards down the field.
Got it. Yeah. Benny, are you a Clueless fan? We talked about Clueless the other day, right?
Alicia Silverstone?
Oh, how about that? A little Alicia Silverstone.
God damn.
How about that?
I like that.
Right?
She was big in the Aerosmith videos.
She is. She was in Crazy, among many others, a couple others, right?
Yes. Yeah. That was the one where she was dressed as a schoolgirl hanging out the window giving a middle finger.
Yes.
etched in my memory.
Did you watch that a few times?
Quite a few, yeah.
Okay. Somebody call us here, McFarlane? Oh, he's still on the phone. I apologize.
It's the police checking on Benny.
It might be the police checking on Benny. Yeah, he's not here.
You know, I even dressed nice today, man.
You did. You were in this Burberry shirt.
You have your
cross out. You're a God loving man.
Not really, but whatever.
I'm just saying.
It's a fashion accessory.
It's the same shirt from yesterday. Him and Frank got too wild with the bourbon.
Well, I asked him if it was the same shirt from yesterday. He said no.
Honestly, I was actually just going to pass out in a chair in the corner. And this way I was
just
here in the morning.
Put your sunglasses on?
Yeah. Well, I did that last time.
I know you did.
Pretty well.
You felt comfortable there?
Yeah, it was not bad. That's actually more comfortable than a random couch I wind up sleeping on most nights at home. So.
But you have a bed.
Yeah, but I also have three kids. And usually when I go to bed, it's late, like 12, 1 o'clock I'm done like watching games and doing work.
Mm-hmm.
And there's usually at least one of those little bastards that stole my spot. So, you know.
Yeah, see, that's another thing, Greg. When you have kids, you sometimes lose your bed.
Yes.
I don't think I like that.
They make having kids sound terrible.
I don't like it at all.
They do, right?
Yeah.
Why did you have kids?
Yeah. No, I love my kids. Don't get me wrong. I love my kids, but there are certain things that, you know.
It sounds like most things, to be honest with you.
It's, you know.
So we were talking about my team before. We were like, Kenny Britt. And this is a great tweet by Lewis Riddick that was just retweeted by Evan Silva. That's how I saw it. Lewis Riddick, gentlemen, tweeted this. Can't say I have ever seen a more elementary passing game plan and inept pass protection than what the Rams showed last week against the Dolphins.
Wow, tell me how you really feel.
Yeah.
That sums it all up right there.
So should I not start Kenny Britt this weekend now?
It all depends on your option again.
Huh. Well, you know my options. I can start Zach Ertz and Doriel Green Beckham.
We've been talking about Doriel Green Beckham, Benny.
Way
right?
too much.
Okay.
Way too much. But you look at that game Monday night, right? The Packers secondary has been brutal. Nobody steps up in the Eagle receiver. The coach, Doug Peterson, came out and basically chastised Nelson Aguilar. Not going to play that much. They gave him targets in garbage time. Any shot, this is Green Beckham's game.
I actually have been a guy who's been stashing Doriel Green Beckham shares in season long.
For the last 5 years?
For like the last 3 or 4 weeks because I've noticed him starting to get involved in the offense a little more. And you know what he's starting to do now?
No.
They're looking for him in the red zone. Now, the one thing he is very big.
He's tall.
Very tall.
Yes.
And that's usually pretty good when you're down in the red zone. So I don't think it's crazy.
So should I start Doriel Green Beckham or Kenny Britt?
Kenny Britt. Yeah, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I would still start Kenny Britt, to be honest.
Even though the most simplistic passing gameplay you've ever seen in your life.
Kenny Britt's not the sharpest tool in the shed.
No, he's not. Hey, we got an hour to go. When we come back, we're going to go game by game for today. The Thanksgiving Day slate, we're looking from a daily and season-long perspective. Road Experts in the morning, 2 hours down, one more to go. We continue on right after this. Oh, hello there. If you're enjoying the Roto Experts in the Morning on demand, well, there's a whole nother hour that you could listen to live every single weekday morning from Monday to Friday. If you want more laughs from Corey Parson, listen to the Roto Experts from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern every single weekday morning. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.